Well, folks, across the nation, armed government SWAT teams are raiding the homes of private citizens and arresting them for the crimes of selling food to each other. This leads us to ask, will feeding ourselves become the crime of the century?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 748th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Nagasaki who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with... Today we're talking to you, coming to you live from the Certified Farmers Markets of the Monterey Bay Area in Aptos, California. A beautiful sunny day. And engineer Nikki James is back at the boards at Broadcast Central. Hello, Nikki.
How is it going?
Beautiful out here today.
It's gorgeous, huh?
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning, and we're going to have a great time today because we have two very special guests to work with. Folks, this bit of news from the San Francisco Chronicle. Obama food safety chief and former Monsanto lawyer Michael R. Taylor today defended the FDA's sting operations and armed raids against raw milk producers, including Pennsylvania Amish farmer Dan Alger, who is now facing an injunction for selling milk. "We believe we are doing our job," Taylor said. "The government is doing a job. Using the powers granted it by the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010 to detain any food it believes unsafe, government has taken upon itself the job of sending armed SWAT teams to raid the homes of private citizens for the crimes of buying and selling each other's fresh whole foods. County district attorneys throughout the United States are sending out warning letters to producers of local foods and telling them that they're going to have to stop. But when they receive the word, Milk Mama's proprietors, Molly McGee and Dustin Johnson, did not back down. Instead, they staged a milk can at a local farmer's market and thus stirred the county board of supervisors to pass a resolution to, and I quote, listen to this, recognize the rights of individuals to grow and consume their own food and to enter into private contracts with other individuals to board animals for food. The government's apparent effort to exterminate private food systems leads us to ask, will feeding ourselves become the crime of the century? Here to help us explore this silly question, we have Molly McGee, who is one of the proprietors of Milk Mama Goat Farm. Molly, welcome to the Food Chain.
Oh, thank you.
Now, who do we have here with us?
This is Gail, one of our Milk Mamas.
Hello, Gail. And Gail is a beautiful brown goat with a black stripe running, racing stripe running down her back. What kind of goat is she?
She's an Alpine, but she has the markings of an Oberhassle.
I would not know what that means, but she's sure a beautiful goat.
She is one of our lovely ladies.
How many different kinds of milk goats are there?
There's probably about four American milk goats,
mm-hmm.
and who knows how many are all over the world.
Yeah. Right. Somebody once said that if you could take one animal with you on the ark, it would be a goat, because a goat can do just about anything.
Oh, they can. They're very versatile animals. They're great.
And you have a beautiful one there today. How did Molly McGee become the proprietor of Milk Mama Goat Farm, by the way? As an Oakland girl, right? City
yeah.
girl?
Yeah, I grew up most of my life in Oakland, and after I graduated from UC Berkeley a few years ago.
With a degree in?
Community and environmental health.
Okay.
So it's kind of related. We decided to come help our friend out in the Santa Cruz Mountains for a while, and, you know, one day we were like, wouldn't it be fun to have a goat? And we saw an ad for a goat on Craigslist, and so we went and picked her up. And, we started milking her, and it was a lot of fun, and we really enjoyed the fresh milk, and all of our neighbors really enjoyed it, and so we ended up getting another one, and a few more, and then they all had babies, and here we are.
And then all of a sudden you have Milk Mama Goat Farm.
Exactly.
Right. And what exactly is Milk Mama Goat Farm?
So we are a shareholder dairy. Because
shareholder.
Yeah, when we first got our goat, we kind of looked into, well, what would it take to become a graded dairy? And, you know, after we kind of read up about it a little bit more and saw that, you know,
$200 million.
Yeah, a few hundred million dollars later,
you might be
able to become a graded dairy. We thought, there might be another option. And so we started, you know, talking to other people who, you know, one of the women that we bought our goat from was like, oh, I have what's called a herd share. And we're like, what's that?
A herd share, okay.
Yeah. And she was like, you know, instead of selling milk, I sell shares of an animal, and then people can drink the milk that they already own. And we're like, perfect.
There it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like rent a tree or something like that from a farmer, right?
Yeah, it's you know, kind of like, it's basically a CSA.
Mm-hmm.
So people buy into our herd of dairy goats.
CSA means what?
Community Supportive Agriculture.
Okay, and that's where you just buy a share of the crop.
Mm-hmm, right? Exactly. So rather than, you know, buying a share of vegetables, you buy a share of a dairy herd. And so you can receive the byproducts of that herd.
So then the people who pay your way at Milk Mama Goat Farms are the people who own a share in the goat.
Yeah, so, you know, we kind of are changing it from the, you know, producer-consumer relationship to that we're all co-producers.
Mm-hmm.
So that we all have a say in how our food is produced, and we all are, you know, excited and happy about it,
Well, not everybody seems to be excited about it. There are some people who are going, wait a minute, and one of them seems to be Michael Taylor, the Monsanto lawyer who is now the food safety czar of the United States of America, and they seem to be not so happy about these kinds of private food systems, and in fact have been raiding them throughout the United States. And in response to that whole notion, you and your partner staged an actual milk-in at a local farmer's market and got a lot of press on this. What led you to stage a milk-in?
We heard about our friends up in San Jose who received a cease and desist letter, and that several of these letters had been going out to other farms across the state.
And cease and desist from the government,
yeah,
telling them you can't do this anymore.
From the,
you can't have a herd share,
exactly,
right?
From the California Department of Food and Agriculture saying, you have to be a graded dairy to distribute raw milk, or milk of any kind. And so stop what you're doing, or else we will, you know, there was a $10,000 fine or 10 years in prison.
10 years in prison for
milking a goat.
Milking a goat.
Yeah, so
that's a big crime. So why are you speaking out? Why did you have the milk in? What were you thinking there?
We wanted to change the discussion because, you know, they were saying this is for food safety. We are threatening people with time in prison and huge fines because we want to protect the public, except nobody has gotten sick from the herd shares. And so we don't feel like it's a public health issue. We feel like it's a consumer choice issue, and that we are consenting adults and very intentionally choose to you know, join herd shares because we want access to fresh, high-quality products and not just the food that comes out of the industrial food system.
Well, that's quite a statement to make. And it doesn't seem to be resonating too well because they don't seem to be backing down. So we seem to be in for a conflict here over herd shares.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just herd shares. It's CSAs.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be
all kind of direct marketing outlets.
And here we are at the farmer's market.
Exactly.
And that's what something I wanted to bring up too, because those farmers here at the farmer's market, almost all of them are kind of facing these same food safety issues that you're facing, and they're afraid to talk.
Yeah. And
so why aren't you afraid to talk, Molly McGee?
Well, we aren't regulated, and a lot of people who are at this farmer's market are regulated. And, you know, they've kind of given up their voice almost in a way to the CDFA, and, you know, not just the CDFA alone, but to also all the regulatory agencies of the state that they have to go through to be a certified seller of, you know, cheese or lettuce or whatever. And we aren't a certified, you know, we feel that we can regulate ourselves, and the other adults who participate in our herd share can also regulate us.
And there you go. And when we get back, that's what we're going to explore, the great conflict between the federal government of the United States and Molly McGee and her milk goats. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Yeah.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Michael Olson here, broadcasting live from the Certified Farmers Market of the Monterey Bay Area. This is here in Aptos, California. This has been voted the number one farmers market, top farmers market in California. And so we're proud to be here today talking about local food. How local does this food get? Well, we're talking about a herd share in which you and I can own. How does that work? Molly McGee, proprietor of Milk Mama Goat Farm. How exactly does a herd share work? I can contract with you to own a piece of this goat here?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one goat...
A share, I guess.
Yeah, one goat makes a lot more milk than, you know, one person can use. So we collectively can own a goat and kind of hire one person to, you know, make sure that the goat is cared for. And, you know, all receive the benefits of the goat, which could be milk, cheese,
well, you know,
and meat.
Agriculture or farmers traditionally have worked together to do things. I mean, you know, so that's what co-ops are, cooperatives. We cooperate to do things together.
Mm-hmm.
And it, so this is kind of a reverse co-op. So it's not the producers that are having the co-op. It's really the cooperation between the consumers and the producer.
Exactly. So that we are co-producers.
They're co-producers. There it is.
Yeah.
And there are other forms of this. There's garden shares. There's CSAs, mm-hmm. which is a CSA. Now, why would I want to participate in a herd share rather than, or any other, or a garden share or a CSA or any kind of food private food? Why don't I just go down to the box store and buy, you know, some cake made from genetically modified soybeans and, you know.
Well, if you like that, you are certainly welcome to do that. I personally like having my own goat because I know that the goat is cared for. I know that the environment is being respected. I know that, I mean, I'm the one who milks the goat and I have a very dignified job. I know that each piece of the equation is being treated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to worry about, you know, well, were they fed, you know, something that they shouldn't be eating? You know, were they overgrazing the land?
But what about me? I know you're the one that knows these things, but what about me? I just don't want to share of it and I don't want to bother with all of those things, but I want to have the benefit of all of your good work. So that's how, that's what a share is, right?
Yeah. Well, it's your
so
goat,
it's really,
too.
It really is the essence of food with its farmer's face on it.
Yeah. You know, since...
Here's Molly with a great big smile on her face. We know what's in the food, right?
Yeah,
as simple as that.
You know, and so we have an open barn door, I guess is what you could say, is that you are welcome to come to our farm, you know, anytime we're there, and you can come and I'll teach you how to milk the goats. You can come once a week and milk her if you'd like. You can participate in the whole process.
Do you think we can teach these young ladies over here, standing over here, look how to milk the goats?
Oh, absolutely. You know.
Well, we'll see if we can do that here in a little bit. So the big question today is, why is government apparently trying to get rid of, exterminate private food systems like herd shares, like CSAs, like everything? You know, so for somebody who follows the news as closely as I do, it just seems like time after time we're seeing these cases where the government is sending in armed SWAT teams.
Mm-hmm.
To arrest people like you for selling me fresh whole foods. And, I mean, there's Dan Alger, the Amish, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I interviewed a gal with two cows in New Hampshire. And the entire state was going down on her for having two cows. Rossum Foods just was raided in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the government prosecuting fresh whole foods from local producers? And what is your sense of it? I mean, you're the food justice person here. You're the one that...
Well, you know, there's kind of this extensive way of farming that's become very popular with, you know, tractors and pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. And that has been our main source of food for the last, you know, 50 years. And there's a lot of
problems. Are you going to tell me that you're a threat to that?
Well,
is that what you're gonna? Are you gonna tell me that Molly McGee and her milk goats are a threat to that?
No, not necessarily. But
but if you're not a threat, then why are they threatened?
That's a good question. I would have a hard time believing that me and my four goats would really make a huge dent in the whole of California dairy state.
Let me ask you this: is your food unsafe?
Absolutely not.
I mean, it seems like what's going on is that they're using food safety
mm-hmm.
as the reason for making this concerted attack on local food producers. Is your food unsafe?
No, it's very safe. You know, that our milk comes straight out of the goat, gets filtered, goes into an ice bath, and goes to the people who own it, you know, all within a few hours. Unlike the milk from, you know, a large dairy, it gets put into a huge vat with tons of other animal milks. It gets sent around the country. It gets mixed with other milk from around the country, and then, you know, gets put into a plastic bottle, and then, you know, shipped around some more, and then a few weeks later might get bought by somebody, and who knows how long that milk has been sitting there.
Well, and it could probably sit there for years, right? Given what they've done to it. But why is, I mean, as a person who is very politically involved, like we were talking about in school, how do you see this? I mean, I'm suggesting here that you're a threat to these giant people, but how do you see it?
It kind of goes with the massive regulatory system that we have. It's that they kind of have this belief that one size fits all, so that if you have one goat or 1,000 goats, that you need to follow the same exact procedures, which isn't true at all. And, you know, they're kind of using the offenses that the larger dairies have had, you know, with problems with, like, spoiled milk going out to people. They're using those against us, saying that it is a public health issue, except none of the public health problems have stemmed from the small shareholder dairies. They've all stemmed from the large industrial dairies.
Well, and again, that's something we see throughout the food chain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not these people here at the farmer's market who have the bad spinach. It's not these people at the farmer's market who have the bad eggs. It's
mm-hmm.
The problem always seems to come from these industrial scale production systems that are just so big that nobody can control them.
Exactly.
And yet it's Molly McGee and the milk goats that get the attention of the regulatory authorities.
Yeah, you know, we felt that we didn't want to be part of the regulatory system, that we wanted an alternative food source. And so we thought by, you know, dealing privately, we could escape that. But now they're trying to say that they have to control every aspect of the food system, whether it's private or not. And I still think that a private contract is a private contract.
So that's really the conflict then,
mm-hmm.
whether we can organize private food systems to feed ourselves,
mm-hmm.
or whether we can't.
Yeah.
So in essence, my silly question of will feeding ourselves become the crime of the century isn't so silly, is it?
It's, you know, not so silly when somebody's pointing a gun at your face.
And which is what they're doing. Okay, folks, we're talking with Molly McGee of the Milk Mama Goat Farm of Bonnie Doon, California. We're live and direct from the Certified Farmers Markets of the Monterey Bay Area here in Aptos, California. And we have, what's her name?
This is Gail.
Gail the goat.
Yes.
is with us. And Gail the Goat is putting big smiles on everybody's face here at the market. We're going to milk Gail the Goat after the radio show here today. We'd try to milk her during the show, but things would get pretty messy, I think, if we tried that. The subject of today's show is milk goats, of course, and this handsome goat here. But really, it's whether you and I have the right to organize private food systems, whether you and I have the right to come to Molly McGee here and say, Molly, I'd love to own a share of your goat. I would love to have the milk of that goat. Whether we have that right or whether government will force us to eat whatever the government wants us to eat. What do you think the government wants us to eat? That's got me stumped. We will be right back and with Molly McGee and Gail the Milk Goat. Do stay tuned. Hey, welcome back from a bright and beautiful sunshiny day here at the Certified Farmers Market of the Monterey Bay Area, Aptos, California. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio Program, talking with Molly McGee, the Milk Mama Goat Farms. And oh my God, look at these kids here. Would you kids come back about 9:45 and milk this goat for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. We'll look forward to that. Well, folks, we're talking about a conflict in our food chain. Listen to this from San Francisco Chronicle. Obama food safety chief and former Monsanto lawyer Michael Taylor today defended the FDA's sting operations and armed raids against raw milk producers, including Pennsylvania Amish farmer Don Alger, who is now facing an injunction for selling milk. We believe we are doing our job, Taylor said. Well, how do we get fresh, whole, raw milk if the government doesn't want us to have it? One way is to contract with private parties like Molly McGee here and own a share of a goat. And thus, it's not like buying milk from somebody else. It's just like getting our own milk. Is that right, Molly?
Exactly. So, you can own a portion of a goat and drink the milk that you already own.
And thus, it's very much like a CSA or other arrangements where we have these private agreements between private parties to buy fresh, whole food. But it would appear that our government does not want us to have this access. And they are using essentially food safety laws that were put into effect last year. And for the Food Safety Modernization Act, I don't know if you folks know this or not, but that Food Safety Modernization Act gave total dictatorial power to the Food and Drug Administration to confiscate any food it deems unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Total control. There is no recourse farmers can have. The person in charge of that effort at FDA is Michael Taylor, who is a former lawyer for the Monsanto Corporation, now in total control of our food chain. Michael Taylor and and his minions could come to this farmer's market today and confiscate all the food.
Exactly.
Nobody would have any recourse. The farmers here would not be able to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
They're just out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing throughout the United States. They're going after people like Molly McGee for having goats and for selling the products of that goat to people like you and I. And that's the conflict that we're talking about today. You know, it just seems amazing that anybody would be worried about us getting milk. I mean, I was raised on a farm, and it had a lot of animals, and we milked our animals, and we took the milk in a bucket across the farmyard, and there was crap everywhere from all kinds of animals, and we dumped it in a separator, and I don't think it ever got sick.
Yeah.
And the whole notion of using food safety to control what we can and cannot eat, I think, is just cheating. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody out there can help me out and tell me how I'm wrong here. Can you? What am I missing, Molly?
I'm not sure because a lot of the recent outbreaks, even in produce, came from an industrial farm, and you know, there haven't been any issues from small farms that, you know, do direct markets. So,
why is that? I mean, I interviewed a lawyer who makes his living by suing people who sell bad food. And so I asked him if he ever had an occasion to sue somebody at the farmer's market. He just said, are you kidding? Never have. Why is that? Is it because, you know, when I get milk from your goats, I can look in your eyes and I can... You're not going to sell me any bad milk.
You can look into Gail's eyes and be assured that she's not going to produce any bad milk.
She's not going to produce... And you're not going to let it get out of control.
Mm-mm.
Because you're selling it to people with whom you're in partnership with.
Yeah, and, you know, if you own a portion of her and you say, hey, I want to change something, you know, we can have that discussion, and because you're part of the process too. It's not just me saying this is what it is, take it or leave it.
So in essence, you and I have to comply with the same rules and regulations. They're set up to ensure safety from somebody who has a goat in China and wants to sell us milk.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's no distinction being made.
The regulatory agencies don't see that there's a distinction, but I feel like it's very different, you know, having milk that comes from 15 minutes away versus, you know...
8,000 miles away, I guess so. So tell me a little bit about being a goat farmer.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, you're a city girl. You went to Cal Berkeley, have a degree but not in goat farming.
No, I wish they had.
So were you always an animal person? Do you like animals?
I am definitely an animal person. I love animals, always have. And we got a sheep, and sheep are my favorite animal. That was our first.
Sheep are?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they're wonderful. I fell so deeply in love with, you know, getting up every day and making sure that he had water and, you know, uh-huh. fresh grass. And then we, you know, wanted to get a goat to be his friend, and it all fell perfectly into place because after I had graduated, I was looking into a couple different jobs, and none of them just felt perfect. They all had, like, something a little bit that didn't, you know, sit well in my gut, and this, I just... Everything makes me feel great.
Let me ask you this: what did your parents say when you told them, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a goat farmer"?
Well, it didn't really happen that way. It kind of was like, "Oh, I'm going to go move to the mountains for the summer," and they're like, "Okay, you know, we'll see when you get back." And then I was like, "Actually, I think I'm just going to stay here now that I have all these goats." And they've been very supportive and, you know, really excited. And my mom loves sheep milk, so she was really excited when I got her some sheep milk. And, you know, she always says, like, how great it makes her feel when she drinks it.
What is the difference between drinking fresh, whole, raw milk and drinking pasteurized milk?
Well, it's different for everybody. I never grew up drinking milk because I'm digestively challenged in many ways, and I can actually drink the milk that we have.
I've heard that said. Mm-hmm. I've heard it said that people who are lactose intolerant can often drink raw milk.
Yeah, because all of the enzymes that are naturally occurring in the milk are still intact, and so those help digest, and it has... Well, there's also lots of different types of milk. There's, you know, goat's milk and cow's milk is very different for a lot of kind of biological reasons. And the milk that comes from a goat has smaller fat molecules than most cows, most American cows at least. And those are easier to digest.
Easier to digest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And, but, well, why do I see goat milk at the grocery store?
I think that goats have been kind of tainted, you know, with a lot of like, oh, it's goaty, I don't want to drink goat milk. And, you know, also kind of there might be some classist issues of people say that, you know, they call them the poor man's cow. But I think that's changing now.
Uh-huh. Well, I would imagine so. But it's such a handsome goat. I can't believe that somebody would think of it poorly because it has not from the right class of animals. Folks, this is the Food Chain, having lots of fun today talking about goat milk and our ability to contract with people like Molly McGee of Milk Mama Goat Farm and to get our own milk from our own animal. That would be our animal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And why it is, we're wondering, the government does not want to allow that to happen. This is the Food Chain. We will be right back. Do stay tuned. Well, it is a bright, sunshiny day here at the Certified Farmers Markets of the Monterey Bay Area, Aptos, California. One of the best in the state of California. We're very proud of it. It's my home farmers market where I can slide up here after my radio show every Saturday morning and enjoy some fresh, whole, raw foods from the people who actually grew it. And that's what we're talking about today, really, is the right of you and I to be able to get food, real food, whole food, fresh food, raw foods from the people who produce that food. And one of the ways we're looking at this is how do we get raw milk from people who can produce it? It's so difficult because the rules established by the government are so onerous that you have to have like $200 million to start a dairy. So why don't we just contract with some friends like Molly McGee to have her do the work and tend the goat, and that way we can have fresh whole milk and we can have it from a good honest person, and we can enjoy that real food from real people and not have to have a $200 million dairy to do it. Well, that's the question. We want to do it, but the government does not want us to do it. And so they are putting out cease and desist orders all across the land. And they have the power to do that because we have granted it to them vis-a-vis the Food Safety Modernization Act, which grants Michael Taylor, the food safety czar of the United States, dictatorial powers over our food. Michael Taylor can bring his minions here to the Aptos Farmers Market and see Molly McGee with her goat. I guess he could confiscate the goat.
He could try and confiscate the goat.
He could try. SWAT team or no SWAT team, Molly McGee is not going to give up her goat, right? So it looks like fun. I mean, everybody that walks past and sees the goat walks away with a big smile on their face. Do you get a smile on your face when you tend the goats in the morning?
Oh, I get a smile on my face just thinking about the goats. Uh-huh. They make my heart sing.
Yeah, I can see that. So when you guys did your milk in at the local farmers market, it so impressed the local county board of supervisors that they passed a resolution in support of you. And the resolution was so worded, so weird. Listen to this. It's a resolution by the county board of supervisors to recognize the rights of individuals to grow and consume their own food, and to enter into private contracts with other individuals to board animals for food. And you know, the thought of a government actually having to pass a law like this is just stupefying when you think about it. They're saying that people should have the right to consume their own foods. And yet, we have to, I guess, to protect people like you. Mm-hmm. And it's not just this county board of supervisors. Oakland passed a law making it legal to grow food, I guess. San Francisco has a law. And so municipal governments around the country are starting to wake up to this whole notion of local food.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys had quite an impact here. Was that your plan?
Yeah, that's what we were hoping for. We really wanted to ultimately send a message to our state legislator and kind of have people aware of this, because the regulatory agencies really only have power when we grant them the power.
Which we did, you know, and we have. We've been, they come to us and say, we need to do this for your safety. And you know, there are occasions that my whole notion is that the farther away the food gets, the more we need somebody to watch over it for us.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And so if Molly McGee were and her milk goats were in China, I'd want somebody there to superintend that milk.
I would probably want that too.
And in all fairness, that milk should bear the cost of those inspectors,
mm-hmm.
right? It shouldn't be taxpayers.
Yeah.
It should be, now that Molly McGee is just up the street from me here, and I own a share of that goat, I don't feel the need to have that onerous government, the same kind of oversight.
Yeah.
Because I can do the oversight myself, just like I do when I shop at all of these farmers here at the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the government to superintend them, because we're doing that ourselves here.
Yeah, you can go and, you know, look with your own eyes. You don't have to rely on somebody with a clipboard and a stamp to tell you that something's safe.
Right, and that's what we're arguing about here. So, and you have this wonderful reaction. The County Board of Supervisors has to resolution, which isn't good for anything other than the fact that everybody says, what's
yeah.
going on? What,
mm-hmm.
Why is it necessary to recognize our ability to grow and process our own food?
Yeah, I mean, our kind of real goal, yeah, with the resolution and the milk-in was to get people aware and to start the conversation and change the headlines from, you know, CDFA protects public, shuts down goat farm, to, you know, people...
CDFA captures poison cantaloupe from China. And that's what we want them to do.
Yeah.
Folks, when we get back, we're going to ask the big question, which is, what can you and I do about securing our own food from people like Molly McGee and the Milk Mama Goat Farm? We will be right back. Do stay tuned. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio. Gail, you're so pretty. Well, we have a few minutes left here on mm-hmm. the Food Chain Radio program on this live broadcast from the Certified Farmers Market of the Monterey Bay Area. We've got Molly McGee and Gail the Milk Goat from the Milk Mama Goat Farm in Bonny Doon, California. And we're not talking so much about milking goats. We're talking about you and I having the right to contract with Molly McGee for a share of her goats so that we can get fresh whole milk, raw milk, straight from the source. Do not pass go. Do not go through 10,000 middlemen. Pay the government nothing. Just straight to us.
Mm-hmm.
And should we have that right? Or should we, Molly, have to comply with those same rules that are established to protect us from food that comes from so far away, like China? That is the question that we're working with today. My contention is that I don't need no government when it comes between Molly and me and her milk goats. I'm perfectly satisfied to look straight in her eye and say, Molly, what's in the milk? What's in the milk, Molly?
A lot of vitamins, minerals, water, natural butter fats, and that's it. And a lot of love, a lot of Gail's love.
A lot of Gail's love. So what can we do as consumers to fight to keep this right to have fresh, whole foods straight from the source?
I would definitely say support local farmers. and
Step number one, amen to that.
Yeah, go to those farmers markets, buy into those CSAs.
What about herd shares?
Yeah, you know, buy a share of a dairy herd. And then I would definitely say tell your representatives that you... you want local food and you don't feel like you need the government to protect your private agreements with farmers to produce food for you. And I'm sure that there's a resolution or ordinance near everyone that's being worked on right now.
And that's probably the best thing. You know, as somebody who's politically astute and politically involved, is there anything more? I mean, when it's just a matter of calling up your representative and saying, look here, bub, I want this to happen. I want fresh food.
I mean, I think it's coming down to that. Right now, I'm actually going to be a part of a working group with the California Department of Food and Agriculture about how to regulate smaller dairies.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is actually something on the table then?
It's sort of something on the table right now. It also is going to involve the Western Dairymen's Association, the Union of, you know, Western Dairies. So It's going to be an interesting conversation.
And they probably don't want any competition from you either, do they, when it gets right down to it?
Yeah, you know, one of the arguments we've heard is that when people get sick from milk, it threatens the...
Everybody.
Yeah, but, you know, they're the ones who are making everybody sick. And so I feel like, you know, we're the ones who should be threatened by the big dairy.
So when you go up against in this meeting with these giant dairy farms, what are you going to tell them?
The milk from my goat is absolutely not regulated and part of your jurisdiction.
There you go, folks. Well, what do you think out there? I'm curious. Do you think that the government should take away our right to contract with Molly McGee and her Milk Mama Goat Farm for real, fresh, whole milk? Give us an answer on the forums at metrofarm.com. Stay tuned for more. What's Eating What Radio next week? And always remember that cheap food isn't. Thank you very much. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Hey, let's milk Gail.
All right.
You girls ready? Yeah.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.